Well, as I mentioned, federal agents and local police conducted an armed raid on a farm cooperative in Venice, California last week, resulting in three arrests. They seized $70,000 in raw organic food, poured 800 gallons of milk down the drain, flushed them away, and no evidence that any of the products were contaminated, but they claim that they're out to protect the public. Now, of course, they weren't pasteurized. Pasteurization is a process of heating food, usually a liquid, to a specific temperature for a definite length of time and then cooling it immediately. It is unlike sterilization. Pasteurization is not intended to kill all the microorganisms in the food. Instead, it's supposed to reduce the number of viable pathogens that are likely to cause disease. What's the furor over all of this? Well, we're going to talk about it this hour when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Of course, Jonathan Emord's going to be with us for the full program, but we're bringing in two separate guests for you to join with him this hour. Karine Boris-Tau is a consumer leader in the Farm Food Freedom Coalition, which represents raw food and dairy consumers across the United States. Karine is particularly aware of an incident with an Amish dairy farmer as well in Pennsylvania. We'll talk about that. And here's Karine joining Jonathan on Coast to Coast. Hello, Karine. How are you?
Hi, George. Thanks for having me.
Likewise, too. Jonathan, why don't you set the stage for us on this FDA raid in Venice, and let's talk about the importance. And then, Karine, of course, I want you to react with us as we talk. Go ahead.
Well, Rossum is a raw food producer, not just dairy, but all sorts of raw food. And it's a cooperative with people joining because they want this kind of food. California happens to be a very regulatory state when it comes to these raw foods. It's unusually so in comparison to other states. And Rossum is the victim of a repeat set of attacks. In 2010, they were raided. And then most recently on August 3rd, they were raided by federal, state, and even in this last one, Canadian agents coming in and seizing all of their products and then dumping them and then arresting the owner, whose name is James Stewart, and they've brought against him a number of charges, state and federal, and he's likely to be in a real fix if this comes to pass in the way the government wants it to. He is not unique. Since 2004, there have been numerous dairies that have and raw food producers that have been subject to raids in California, Ohio, New York, Missouri, Minnesota, and California, Missouri. This is truly a national problem. George, just to give you a little bit more background, roughly a million Americans consume raw dairy. 3% of milk drinkers consume raw milk. And raw dairy is common as a cultural food in Amish, Mennonite, and Mexican communities. In Mexican communities, it's queso fresco. And since 1987, the FDA has had on the books a regulation, 21 CFR section 1240.61, that disallows any person from quote-unquote trafficking, that is distributing or selling, mm-hmm. in interstate commerce, any unpasteurized milk or milk product.
And is that what you mean by raw?
Yes, it's unprocessed. And, you know, there's an enormous health movement in favor of raw fruits, vegetables, and dairy, and the FDA is dead set against it. It's in favor of pasteurizing all fruit juices, pasteurizing all milk, and this process of pasteurization, while it does lower the bacterial load, it also knocks out some important enzymes and minerals and vitamins that are in these foods.
All right, let's bring in Karine. Karine, tell us about your involvement as a consumer leader. How'd you get interested in this?
It started about 6.5 years ago. With the birth of my first child, and actually, unfortunately, the death of my mother.
I'm sorry to hear that.
In her 50s, yeah. It just made me, you know, kind of rethink how I thought about what was going in my body, and having a new child and having to take on that nutritional, you know, breastfeeding him and having to take on that additional burden. I really wanted to make sure I was getting the most nutrient-dense food I could. And it was really hard to find it. And I want to mention that my grandmother it's 95 and she's still alive. And, you know, my mom passed away in her 50s. So that really kind of set the stage for me to think about what traditions might have been helpful for my grandmother to live such
sure.
a long life.
That your mother did not do, maybe.
Correct. And other things that she put in her body and, you know, so forth that just, you know, she ended up with cancer.
Okay. So as you decided, hey, you know what, I'm going to get more involved in this for myself, I'm going to help other people as well. What did you begin to see out there in the area of raw food, dairy products for consumers, and why'd you start getting upset with the FDA?
Well, when I first started looking for the most nutrient-dense food I could find, it was really hard. There was no way. I live in the D.C. metro area, and at the time I lived on Capitol Hill. And I learned about the Weston A. Price Foundation and found a location in the area that I could purchase food from. And but it was a long drive for me. And so I decided, you know what, I'm in a huge market here. There are other people who need access to this food. I felt like the food at the time that I was purchasing was a little too expensive for the average American to be able to afford. And I don't like to see people being, blocked out of being healthy. And so that was my motivation to find my own farmer who could supply food first on Capitol Hill. And that was kind of the rebel in me. I was like, here I am, it's illegal, but I live on the hill and I want it to be here. And so that's how I got into, you know, pursuing it and creating the Grass-Fed on the Hill group that I'm still currently coordinating.
And did you bump heads with the FDA at all?
At that time, I didn't, and I don't think we really caught their eye until we got pretty large. I mean, we grew exponentially over time, and with other raids and with other things in the media about raw milk and the benefits of it, and we're still growing exponentially. And about 2 years ago, so I started the group 6 years ago. We've been since 2004. With no outbreaks, with no problems, no sicknesses. 2 years ago, they started an undercover investigation, and they joined our group as aliases and started purchasing food and contacted our farmer and started watching him, and they started noticing it. They're in Amish country, you know, a foreign car, you know, they're suspect of. And eventually they came on the farm armed with their guns pointing at this.
Armed at an American who's unarmed, just a farmer.
Just a farmer in his overalls, his suspenders, his hat on, very proper man, nice family. And so they came on the farm, terrorized the family, the young children with these guns.
Oh, my God, they look like terrorists. Unbelievable. We've been trained, Corrine, that pasteurization is good for you. You know, pasteurized milk, pasteurized cheese, pasteurized eggs they're pushing now. Is that wrong?
I believe it's when you need pasteurization from products and milk and animal products in general that are coming from factory farms, because those aren't clean, safe places to produce food.
I understand that.
But the food that we get comes right from the farm. The family eats the same farm.
Like the old days.
Exactly. And it is health promoting. There's enzymes intact, the vitamins, the fact that the animals are on pasture just gives you a whole different combination of things that your body needs to be healthy.
Why is the FDA going after these very small little enterprises? Surely they're not cutting into the big business of the big stores and the big farms. Why are they doing this? Are they just trying to set a precedent? What do you think's going on?
That's kind of controversial. I mean, when you think about the farm subsidies that are out there, you know, three quarters of them, which is around $17 billion, I understand, goes to the large farms. And I think that, you know, they have the ear of the government and they don't like to share the market. And what we're asking for is a market share. They have a right to do what they're doing and we have a right to exist as well. And we feel like, you know, the FDA is attacking these small farms, putting them out of business. stifling the economy in these small towns.
At the request of the big boys.
That's what it seems like to me.
Jonathan, you agree?
Oh, very definitely. The lobbying in 87 for that regulation against interstate trafficking was heavily backed by major food producers, major dairy. And, you know, it's interesting. Pasteurization sure does knock down the bacteria load of milk and juice, but only for the time period immediately after.
And it doesn't eliminate it like sterilization does.
Right. And you know, these foods, milk and cheese and orange juice and other fruit juices, these are natural media for bacteria to grow on them. So the real critical factor is not that 15 minutes when they flash pasteurize these things. That'll save you within the hour after it's done. But it's the handling of it. So whether it's raw or whether it's pasteurized, the handling becomes the most important factor. That's why, because of the enormous volume of pasteurized milk in our country, that there are thousands, 3,000 to 5,000 instances of salmonella, E. coli, and listeria from such things as pasteurized milk and pasteurized soft cheeses every year, including fatalities. But when it comes to the million people out there or so that are eating these raw dairy products, there are only 40 to 50 cases of sickness that are alleged to be associated with those products. Of course, ultimately, proof of it requires more than just saying to your doctor, gee, I had this cheeseburger, and now I feel sick. It might be that it's the hamburger and not the cheese.
Under what auspices, Jonathan, are they shutting down and arresting these people and farms and these enterprises?
In the states, they do it because they're either arguing that they're not adequately permitted. They don't have the permit that is required.
Now, that would seem to be easy to fix, right?
Sure. In most instances, the states will allow them to just discontinue operations till they get a permit. But a lot of these operations are cooperatives where the ownership of the animals that are producing the food is not by the institution, the cooperative. It's by the people who individually. And in no state in the country is it illegal for a person to consume raw milk. In 30 states, they allow the sale of it under regulation, and in 20 states, the sale is disallowed. But consumption of it is legal. And despite that, you've got the FDA and the state authorities even harassing the consumers, as in the case of, you know, as in Corrine's case. And in 2010, Ray Lynn Sandig, a consumer in Minnesota, was actually had agents raid her house and go through the milk in her refrigerator because someone alleged that she shared her raw milk with her neighbors.
Now, is anybody getting sick drinking these raw foods, eating the raw foods, drinking the raw milk?
Yes, there are people getting sick, but as a percentage, you've got over a million or a million people in the United States eating raw dairy, and they're only at best 40, 45, 50 instances a year of people complaining of illness associated with it. That compared to the 3,000 to 5,000 people who are actually diagnosed with illness associated with pasteurized milk. So milk and juice, they are media for the growth of bacteria, and people will mishandle these things. But it's very much the case in my experience with these people that the Amish farmers and the Mennonite farmers and those who are catering to this natural environment are so extremely conscious about the need to protect their consumer by proper handling, refrigeration,
sure,
and clean animals, that's why the incidence is so low. It's not possible to tell somebody when they buy your milk, hey, look, please put it in the refrigerator rather than leaving it
right on
the counter.
Well, pasteurization to me still would be organic if they pasteurized their own milk products. Why don't they do that just to be on the safe side and get the government off their back?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is a freedom of choice issue. It ultimately is. We've got all kinds of foods, not just juices and milk, that are subjected to the risk of contamination, of course. And we trust people free, you know, the right to consume a food is so basic, it is an inalienable birthright. And to be able to choose what to eat and how to eat it has been something that the government historically has left alone because, my goodness, you don't want to have the federal agent between you and your silverware and your plate. But when it comes to this, they've really discriminated very heavily against this community. And I don't think anybody in the community who's reasonable would object to prosecution of a party who actually sells adulterated products. The problem right here is that they're going after folks regardless of whether their products are adulterated. And in fact,
under the contention that they're protecting the public.
Right. And their notion is that unpasteurized products are, by definition, inherently unsafe. And that's bogus because the comparison is wrong. If it were true that pasteurized foods, regardless of the handling of them, were inherently safe, and that you compared that to unpasteurized milk and dairy and juices, you could make that point, that pasteurization is a cure-all. Therefore, it should be used, and you could make a better argument. But they're making an argument on something that isn't a cure-all. And as a result, because the principal basis for contamination lies in handling, if I come into the government and I show you I have a protocol I follow as a natural raw food producer of vegetables or fruits or whatever that ensures that there is a low bacterial load and that people will not get sick, the government should back off and leave you alone. But instead, they have this mantra.
And if people got sick from that small little farm, I think the government has a right to shut it down, right?
Sure. If you can show that I am not following a protocol that leads my end product, whether it's a milk or anything, to be safe to consume, sure, you ought to be able to be prosecuted. But if I'm Dan Algier and I have for the last 35
years... That's the Amish farmer. Go ahead.
Yeah, Amish farmer in Kinzers, Pennsylvania. And I have several hundred cows. And I'm milking those cows and they're on grass feed and they're healthy animals. And I'm very meticulous in my care of the animals. Yep. And I'm very meticulous in my handling of this stuff. And no one who has consumed his product in 35 years has ever complained of being sick, and the FDA goes in and they get 23 units of his product shipped to them, inducing him and trapping him to put it in interstate commerce by ordering it and having it come to a government safe house where two FDA agents are posing as husband and wife buying his milk. And
we're paying for their salaries.
Oh, yeah, and he's going to have to pay for all of it in the end, which may destroy his farm. But they get the milk, and then they test all of it, and they're confident they're going to find unsafe levels of bacteria in it. And 23 units, they find none.
None.
But then they go after him anyway, just because he put it in interstate commerce. That is a totalitarian government.
Well, you know what? Maybe we get him on the show and help him and do what we can. Kareen, let me ask you one quick question before we go. So if a little 10-year-old grew tomatoes and cucumbers and things like that in his backyard and put a little stand out there and sold it on the sidewalk, do you think he'd get arrested in California or some other state?
I think it's possible. I've heard recently that some kids with a lemonade stand.
They've shut them down.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It is crazy, crazy
stuff.
I used
to do that as a kid. I can't imagine.
Well, we all did. You know, I used to sell lemonade for a nickel, and it was fun.
Exactly.
That's how I started my business acumen. I should have sold it for a dime. That's the mistake I made. Hey, Kareen, thank you. And Jonathan, you stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment. Lori Cohen-Peters joins us as we talk more about being a consumer leader and Rossum Foods and exactly what is that food club. We'll be back. We're going to continue now talking about these raids on these small enterprises that are generating raw organic food and raw dairy products as well. With us now, Lori Cohen-Peters. She's a consumer leader as well, very aware of the situation that occurred in Venice, California. Lori, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hello, welcome. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Tell us about your involvement. How did you get interested in this end of eating food?
Well, I've always been interested in nutrition, and the more you learn about our food system in America, the more you realize you just can't eat most of the foods that are available in the marketplace. And then you start understanding what you need for yourself and your children, and you start looking to source it, and you find out that your only option on certain foods might have to come from a small private club like the club we had established in Rawson. So that's really basically how I got involved.
What can you tell us about the raid? What do we know about it?
Well, it was a really heinous raid. They came in, the FDA, the USDA, the LA County District Attorney's Office, the County Health Department, and the local police, SWAT style. They raided the entire club. They took $10,000 worth of milk, poured it down the drain. They loaded up a truck with all kinds of meat and produce. We had coconuts and watermelons. We had our kefirs. We had our coconut waters. It was about $85,000 worth of food, and they took it. Some members followed the truck and saw that it went to something that looked like a dump. They took all of our paperwork, our computers. They took $4,500 out of a till and another $9,000 that three witnesses saw being taken. But when they looked at the police report later at the courthouse, $9,000 was not reported on the paperwork. They padlocked the doors. They ransacked the head volunteer's apartment, took all of his paperwork, computer, and money, and then arrested him and two farmers.
Not a good situation at all. And God forbid if they nail these people, how long can they get? Years?
Well, I want to say something. There's nothing to nail them for, I don't believe, but I want to make something really clear. We need help in this country, and we need support for this movement if we're going to have our right to healthy food. And we need, we started something, Corrine and I know you had her on just before me,
yeah,
called Farm Food Freedom. You can go to farmfoodfreedom.org or the Emmerd Legal Defense Fund. You can go to farmfoodfreedom.org and hit pay there or learn about our mission, our coalition statement. You can also learn more about the raids. If you hit government overreach on that page, you'll see a whole list of raids. I mean, including a small farming family of a woman who was held at gunpoint with her children while her husband was fighting in Iraq. This thing is so out of control. And I would like to also say that the Emmerd Legal Defense Fund is 202-466-6937. That's 202-466-6937. We really need support. Any donation is a very appreciated, because we need to take this through the legal system with Jonathan's help.
Jonathan, how do you do all this? Because you don't get paid a lot of money from people who need help.
Well, you know, some people are driven by the dollars, and other people are driven by the cause, and some people are luckily to be driven by both. I usually have the good fortune of representing commercial concerns, and I'm able to survive with that. And when something like this comes along and there's so much abuse and oppression by the government, I feel compelled to help. And these people are really beautiful people, and they are just like all of us, love their children, want to take care of them, trying to do the best for their kids. And they're being denied by their government that right, and the people who are involved in these things are being treated as if they're felons who are selling drugs instead of selling coconuts and raw milk. I mean, this is insane.
That's the problem. They're treating these people like they're hardened criminals, growing cocaine or something, heroin and poppies. It's crazy.
It is.
George, can I tell you?
The backbone of the country. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Laura.
No, I just wanted to say, George, you know, it is really crazy because I have to deal with my little one tomorrow who wants to know where her raw goat milk is because she cannot tolerate cow's milk. And I will just say, in answer to something that was asked earlier, it's more than just a question of pasteurization. You said, why, if there's organic milk, don't they pasteurize? Well, if you do the research and you really look into this, and I'm not personally a raw milk drinker, but I depended on a lot of the other foods there, like the butters and the cheeses, which are grass-fed. They're not finished with grain. It was the kind of food that we wanted as members. So we told the farmer how we wanted it, and that's how we got it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it available. And I just wanted to say that pasteurization, from my research and study, is linked to a lot of health issues. It's not a healthy process, and it's certainly not a panacea for bacterial infection. So I just wanted to say that. And I also wanted to say that these farmers, you know, their livelihood has been affected. Their reputation is being defamed, you know, and in their community, they're being asked, well, why do you have felony counts? You know, why were you arrested? They've lost revenue. So, and now with the Rossum Club shut down, it just affects so many farmers that depended on this income. And at a time like this, in our country today, our taxpayer money, they spent a year doing private investigation of our club, following a man who was getting, you know, produce and was getting like the wholesome, best grass-fed bison that he could find for us. And we knew who the farmers were. And this is a private club. We all came under agreement that we took responsibility for her health. And now, yes, he's being treated like a criminal who's dealing heroin when we have meth houses in Venice, California, right around the block. And no taxpayer dollars going towards shutting those down.
Unbelievable. No, I'm baffled. You know, Jonathan, when we picked up on this story last week, and I told my producers, I said, I've got to do a show on this. This is not going to get the kind of exposure it needs until we start talking about this. Maybe then the mainstream folks will pick up on this and start talking about how ridiculous this is, and somebody can start taking a closer look at what the FDA is doing around this country. You know, the kickbacks and how they're getting paid by some of the big pharmaceutical companies and what they're doing. It's truly unbelievable. I mean, the resources involved, how many federal agents, armed agents, hit this cooperative? Do we know?
Yes. You mean exactly how many in count?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was well more than we needed to spend, especially in this day and age. And also to have homeless people that are hungry down the street. We have a high count of hunger issue in our city and in our country. They ruined $85,000 worth of precious food that people need to survive. And it's just egregious.
One guy could have shown up and said, assuming he was doing anything wrong, hey, you need this license. You need to go apply for it and walk away. I mean, they intended to shut this thing down. That was their plan.
They didn't just intend to shut it down. They intended for there to be economic disaster. And I just want to repeat, we really need people to discover what's in the food system, to wake up and to help us. So it's 202-466-6937 is the Emerald Legal Defense Fund, and the same money goes, if you go, it's easier sometimes for the internet, just go farmfoodfreedom.org. It'll take you right to a page that'll link you to a WePay option. And also get educated, I would say, to the public, because once you start learning about what's really going on with our food system and government overthrow, then you start realizing that you have to take responsibility and speak out. And I would recommend something like the centerforfoodsafety.org or cornucopia.org. That's the Cornucopia Institute. But you can just go into Google and Google, you know, facts of raw milk, because, and look at who the source is behind those articles. Make sure that they're not conflicted or biased. But I will tell you that in 12 years, there's been no issue related to raw milk that I know of. And also, you can pull up statistics that tell you you have a 25%, I think it's even greater, chance of illness from pasteurized milk than you do raw milk, according to the nutritionforchildren.com site, which did a lot of research.
I wonder, people who are lactose intolerant, are they lactose intolerant to either, raw dairy products or pasteurized or both? I don't know.
Casein is broken. Do you know, Jonathan, do you want to answer or shall I?
You go right ahead.
Okay, sorry. Don't mean to steamroll.
Jonathan's back there typing up a brief for some other case.
Sorry, but this is a point of passion for me, as you can see. But no, the enzymes are broken down in pasteurization, and they make it so that it is very difficult to digest the lactose. And that's why, if you even on the USDA page, if you look, milk has the highest level, pasteurized milk has the highest level of allergy. Raw milk, there's like virtually no, very minimal, if any, cases traced to allergy to raw milk.
Did not know that. What about science? If you were to poll scientists or microbiologists about pasteurization versus raw, what do you think, Lori, they would say?
Well, it depends on who the scientist is. As long as they're an independent scientist that's doing the studies on their own, and this is something that my coalition, farmfoodfreedom.org, is working on getting cohesified so we can take it through the court system,
okay,
you will learn that raw milk is actually as safe, if not safer. I'll reiterate something Jonathan said, you know, especially with these small clubs. I knew that farmer. My friend and her father went and lived on the farm for 3 weeks. They watched every single aspect of farming there and how the animals were treated, what they ate, the cleanliness of the machinery to get the milk. And so, you know, we are so closely monitoring that dairy. We don't have to deal with antibiotics and hormones and mastitis pus in our milk, which you get in pasteurized commercial milk.
Bovine shots and stuff like that.
Pardon?
Those bovine shots and things like that.
Bovine shots, and it's all I'm sorry, but I would do injustice to the show if I didn't mention that this hails from Monsanto, who is controlling the corn and soy that's genetically modified that goes into the cow, as well as the growth hormones, and it's making that milk. You know, we just had a big outbreak of the Carskill, which ironically happened right at the Rawsome raid, where we've never had any kind of outbreak. I didn't see them go in and raid Carskill and shut them down. But I'll tell you that happened, I read, because the antibiotic that they treat the cows with, which they have to in those unclean environments. You can see this in food.
Well, that's the problem. It's unclean. They're stuck doing all this stuff.
Right, and the bacteria that came out of that, the E. coli, was resistant to those antibiotics. So you have to realize what this food system is about in America to understand why there are people who want these small clubs to get clean food. I just can't go back anymore as a mother. I can't feed my kids commercial food. You should see me with a camera, and a camera should follow me today in a day and watch me sort of dodging landmines trying to feed my kids properly.
Well, it is frustrating. You done with that brief over there, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. Here you go.
Yeah, you know, one of the remarkable things about this, George, is that here you have the Food and Drug Administration, and this is this is so much overkill. And the point is to send a message. And they send a message to the public by putting out press releases that are broadcast all over the nation, so they dominate the media story and they get their spin out that this is an inherently unsafe product, and it's being people are immediately subject to being injured, and we're saving them by sending in the troops, and then they put maximum force in, and they go not to just stop something that actually is provably harmful, for which there is none. They instead obliterate this small business with the maximum power of the federal government in a forced raid with armed agents going in there and destroying the business. And they do that part of it to send a message to all of those other people, those million people out there consuming the product and the producers that make it for them, saying to them, you're next.
You're next.
Oh, yeah. I know somebody who I would love to get butter from for my child for my child, and they won't. They're scared.
What exactly, Lori, is the food club? How does it work?
It's a private club. There's a legal document that's drawn up that basically, when we sign it, it says we take full responsibility for our health. We understand if we ingest any kind of bacteria, get ill from any of the foods, we take full responsibility. And it's really just, you know, James Stewart, for instance, he's not the owner and he's not selling us the food under this agreement. He is another member who has volunteered to step up and coordinate the food for us to find the right sources to make sure everything's, you know, being handled correctly. So, and then we are basically, in a sense, it's a herd share, which means that we all technically have part ownership in the farm, in the animals on the farm.
Okay.
We get to say,
I see what you mean. It's like me and my insurance company, you know, you literally own a piece of the insurance company by being a member of it.
Right.
So how many members are out there?
Well, we had 4,000 this year. We got raided last year, and that cut out a lot. This year, we had 2,000 active members.
Do people get scared? They run away when this happens?
Oh, absolutely. And let me tell you, I am sympathetic to the general American public out there about raw milk. At first, I was very leery about it. And
does it taste different?
Oh, it's gorgeous. I have to say, it really is. And you really can't stomach commercial dairy after you drink it.
Was that a play on words?
Excuse the pun. But, you know, it has a lot of merits. The grass-fed is a really big, important one for me. And, yes, it tastes creamy. It tastes – I meet so many people that say, oh, I grew up on raw milk. So people have been drinking raw milk for a long time.
I would guess, Jonathan, that, you know, folks who lived on farms, and many did back in the 1900s up to 1940s, I think, they – drank unpasteurized milk, did they?
Oh, sure. I mean, my wife grew up in Idaho, and she consumes raw milk and did consume raw milk then. And you know, it's a way of life. It's a common practice on a dairy farm. I would dare say there's no a dairy farm that's a true traditional farm, not an industrial farm, in which the farmer and his family doesn't drink the raw milk. I mean, it's just the normal way of life. You know, it's kind of ironic. I bet you those guys who raided the Rossum facilities probably at some point had sushi. Maybe right after the raid. The point is, I mean. Look at the double standard here. You know, we've got raw fish, which is a real good medium for the growth of bacteria, and
sure
people get sick with those things. Even parasites come from raw fish. And yet, you know, because of this visceral bias, that's an exotic Asian food, cool. And then when it comes to the raw milk, because of the lobbying that has been done by the major producers with the government's assistance, they now have a very clear anti-competitive agenda. If it wasn't for the success of the organic movement, we wouldn't be seeing this now. We're seeing this now precisely because the organic movement has become so successful. Not only that, we're seeing these raids happen not with publicity from the government that says, here is Jane Smith, and here is Fred, and here is, you know, all these people. These people got sick, and this person died, and that's why we're there. You get none of that because they don't have it. If they had it, they would tell you immediately. Instead, they're just saying, well, raw milk's inherently unsafe. Well, if that's so, how did the million people that consumed it, my wife included, how did they, why are they here with us today? I mean, what is that? It is because it gets down to almost all foods will become contaminated if improperly handled, and if properly handled, refrigerated and cared for, come from clean animals and so on, you're at a very low likelihood of having this problem. I mean, my goodness, how could anyone in the Holy Lands have lived past the infancy had it not been for their ingestion of raw milk and raw dairy? I mean,
absolutely. My grandmother used to make a Middle Eastern meal called kibinaya. And what it was raw ground up beef or lamb with wheat and spices and things like that. And we all ate it when we were kids. I mean, it was phenomenal. You would call it today steak tartare, sort of.
Right.
But this was different. But I got to tell you, today I would not eat raw beef if you paid me.
Well, you wouldn't from where you would get it.
No, not at all.
But if you got it from a small independent farm that was grass-fed, and that was something that you wanted to do,
that would be different.
I've been on Capitol Hill when they've had steak tartare out there and sushi and various things for the lobbyists and for the members of Congress and their staff. So here you have these people, very same people, like Dick Durbin, pushing this agenda of going after these people. And they're in their own common practices are ingesting the same kinds of things with the same kinds of risks. Basically, it gets down to this. Do we have freedom of choice in this country? Do we have a right to choose to consume a food product that is commonly available and has historically been available? Or are we going to have the government tell us that there are certain foods that they're going to be nixed that have bacteria levels that are comparable to other foods simply because of a bias? The government wants to allow us to eat sushi. For whatever reason, I don't know, wants to allow us to have steak tartare, doesn't want us to have raw milk.
Well, it sounds like there are definitely different standards, Jonathan. You're sticking around to take phone calls. Lori, thank you. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.